Hello and welcome to today's podcast. My name is Amber. My website is sacredspacehealing.org. That's sacredspacehealing.org. I'm a Reiki master and a shamanic practitioner, and my work specializes on core wound healing, life purpose work, sacred union healing, and transformational calls and readings. That's sacredspacehealing.org. Before we go into the podcast, and today's podcast is on the topic of psychic attack, So a lot of information there. But before we go into the podcast, I just wanted to thank everyone that has been supporting these podcasts over the years and me and this method of reaching out and sharing information, really, sometimes provocative and sometimes not, with all of you. I receive lovely messages almost weekly on the podcast, and I'm always amazed at where people are contacting me from, you know, different parts of the world and at different stages in their journey, and it's so beautiful to get that feedback, so thank you very much. I also get asked how you can support me or give something back, which is really beautiful. Yes, all of the podcasts are free, as are the YouTube clips, as are the blog posts, really, and thank you for acknowledging that it takes a lot of energy, time and effort to create these, and that actually it's kind of like a work of charity, because it costs to host a website, it costs to host the podcasts on the channels, to make it accessible to you. It doesn't only just take up my time and energy, but it also takes up my financial time and energy. So thank you. If you would like to support the work, anything that you donate, however small or however large, all goes back into the work. It just means that I can create more podcasts and also reach more people. So if you go onto the website, which is sacredspacehealing.org, and if you click on the home button, so just click on the word home, there'll be a drop down menu, and one of the tabs will say donate or donations, and just click on that, and it's a PayPal donations scheme, and you can just donate as much or as little as you feel called to, and all donations are gratefully received and go straight back into the work. So thank you very much. And the website again is sacredspacehealing.org. So today's podcast is on the topic of psychic attack. I mean, that's one of the phrases that's used for this, but I guess everyone has their own kind of phraseology around this. Now, this isn't the place for me to offer solutions to psychic attack. That's the work that I do in the one-to-one sessions. But this is just to give an overview about what might be going on for you, things to look out for, and ways that we can dodge these bullets, if you like. There is a program on the website called the Clearing Program, and that was developed a number of years ago. And initially it was called the Block Clearing Sessions. And I think there's a YouTube video out there that's still got that title. But the Clearing Program, in essence, was distilled after a number of years of working with people and seeing that there was a lot of stuff that people needed to clear. And it wasn't enough to just do, you know, the deeper healing work. And it was disempowering for me to be clearing for them. So what tended to happen is I was seeing a lot of clients in my shamanic healing practice who would come to me kind of weighed down with this dust, with this debris. And shamanic healing sessions, when I first started out, used to take about 3 hours. And so we'd spend a portion of the time at the start talking and just kind of working out what someone wanted to heal, where they wanted to be in their life, you know, what wasn't working and what was. And then when we would actually go into the healing, I found that I was spending a good proportion of my time just clearing through the drum, through song and other techniques. And there was a lot to clear. And then, you know, we would do the other work. We would do the soul retrieval and power retrieval and so on. And everything would be nicely, neatly tied up. And sometimes the clients would return. I mean, it's not really the case that people need to return after shamanic healings. I kind of find that if the healer's doing their work effectively, then you shouldn't really need to come back for another shamanic healing for at least 6 months to a year, if not more. I mean, sometimes one healing is all that you need. So for a lot of people, one healing with me was enough, and I never heard from them again, and that's brilliant, job done. But for some people, there was deeper work to do because there was kind of deeper trauma that they'd experienced. And so they would come back a few weeks later or a couple of months later. And I found that I was still having to clear, that it was as if It was as if we'd kind of given them a blank slate, but then they'd gathered all this debris up again and then come back to me and said, oh, Amber, clear this for me. So it started to feel like it was kind of disempowering for people. And I feel that one of the things about healing is that it can be incredibly disempowering, and that we hand over our power to a healer and we say, please help me, please clear this for me, please help me plug into this thing. And I think authentic healers, healers that have your best and highest good at heart, will always redirect you to how you can do this for yourself and not allow you to become dependent on them. But we live in a time now where healing has become big business. And it's come to my attention that there's quite a lot of healers out there that kind of leave the work unresolved. You know, it's sort of half finished. Now, there is a medicine to that. You know, traditionally, work is left half finished in some ways so that the client can go away and empower themselves and do the rest. So often in shamanic healings with a lot of my clients, there would be rituals for them to do afterwards to complete the healing. And doing the ritual would be their way of being a co-creator in their own healing journey. But with less than authentic healers, what happens is that the work is just left unfinished. And what tends to happen is you have a session, you feel great, and then a couple of weeks later, you start to feel terrible again. And, you know, your usual techniques of clearing or healing don't work. And you just think, you feel this pull to have to go back to your healer and clear and ask them to clear you again and help you again. And then this just goes on indefinitely. So I think for anyone who finds that they're sort of, unless there's deep-seated trauma that you're healing, you know, for anyone who feels that, that they're kind of repeatedly going to the same healer again and again and again, or various healers, the question to ask is, how much of your power are you giving away and how much of your power is kind of being abused? Which is a separate podcast. But so the thing that I was noticing in these sessions was that there was this lack of autonomy. So the clearing sessions, or the block clearing sessions, now called the clearing program, was birthed out of that. And essentially, it's as if you become your own best healer. And what happens is that I go on a shamanic journey. I ask, what one area of your life do you most need to clear it or heal at this time? And it'll normally be an area of your life that, you know, I've been told, you've told me that you want help with, or the client has told me that they want help with. And so I journey on that, and then I get given a set of sometimes shamanic, sometimes not, rituals and practices and affirmations and prayers for people to say and do in their own home, in their own time. And if they continue that practice for a number of days, however long it is, they don't miss a day, they do everything to the letter, the block, the attack, the thing that is weighing them down will be cleared. And so that's the beauty of the clearing program, is that we learn to do it for ourselves and that the work lasts. And we can't really sort of say, oh, it's not working, or, you know, I need to go back to a healer, or the healer did it wrong. We take full responsibility. And one of the most important things when it comes to psychic attack is autonomy. So in shamanism, psychic attack is often seen in the body as darts or arrows or daggers. You know, it's like you can physically see that this energy has come at someone to hurt them in some way. And you can kind of see the intention with which it was sent, you know, to hurt or to cause pain or to bind in some way. And you'll see it in a way that our mind interprets that energy, which is darts or arrows or, you know, bullets or knives in the back even. And this is where our phraseology comes from. You know, I feel like I've been stabbed in the back biting, back, you know, back bitching and stuff like that. It kind of comes from this, that there's energy being directed at us, and it's directed at us in such a way that we can't fight it off because it's coming at our back, right? It's coming at us from a different angle. It's coming hidden. It's done behind closed doors. It's done behind our back. And actually, if the person stood in front of us, they may not throw that punch. They may not kind of stick that knife in. Or if they tried to, we'd be able to deflect it. But the reason we can't deflect it is because it's coming at us in a way that we can't see it. And then that's why we start to feel weighed down. So that's how psychic attack, if you like, is viewed in shamanism. I mean, I think everyone has their own definition of what it is. But for me, psychic attack is anyone that is sending another person or, you know, institution or animal, I guess, negative energy, negative thoughts, bad thoughts. So jealousy, envy, rage, hate, And that because everything is energy, you know, because our thoughts are so powerful, we are able to harm others. We are able to create a difference in the frequency around us and the frequency for others through our thought forms. And that doesn't mean that just because someone thinks a bad thought about us, we're going to be, you know, suddenly immobilized. But what it does mean is that if someone thinks a bad thought about us and our energy levels are already low and we don't have a daily practice where we're clearing ourselves and, you know, protecting ourselves, shielding ourselves in some way, and we have wounds that have left our energy field open and susceptible to attack or certain forms of attack, then it just makes us more vulnerable. So in a way, it's a bit like this, you know, say in terms of, say, wounds, like core wounds, say you had an injury and you fell over and you cut your knee open and you never really tended to that injury. So it healed, but it didn't really heal properly. You know, every now and then it might flare up again. There might be a bit of blood, you know, it just you didn't take care of it. You didn't tend it. And actually the wound needed some stitches, but you never got any stitches because you thought it'll just heal over time, right? Time heals all. This has now become a weak spot in you. So your enemy, the one that wants to harm you, knows that if they want to immobilize you in some way, that's where they need to go for. They just need to give you a good kick or a good stab in the knee or push you over so you fall on your knee again. But it weakens you. It also means that you're now weaker because you've got this wound that you never tended to. Maybe it means that, you know, you can't run as fast as you'd like to, or you can't bend down as much as you'd like to, or, you know, it's difficult for you to do sports. So it's impacting on your life. This is how the core wounds in us that we haven't tended to make us susceptible to psychic attack. It's exactly the same thing. So if we've experienced trauma in some way and we never really healed it, it will have left an energetic tear in our energy field, which leaves us open to attack. And it means that it's a gateway for more attack of a similar frequency to come our way. So if we've experienced violence or we've experienced abuse of some kind, we've experienced intense fear or intense pain or intense rejection or abandonment, these have left an energetic imprint on us. And if we've never tended to them, if we've never healed them, cleared them, reconciled them, become aware of them, then these become very easy targets for those that want to hurt us, both willingly and unknowingly. You know, willingly, I would say, your enemy, if they want to hurt you, if they know that you've got a history of abuse or a history of trauma or a history of abandonment and they want to hurt you, they're just going to recreate the same situation around you to trigger that wound in you. And they've already won. They've already disempowered you in some way, right? And that's just if they were to do something in the physical world, if they were to isolate you in some way, attack you in some way. But there's ways that we can do this through our thought forms. And I think people sometimes do this consciously and other times they do it unconsciously. And often it's a mixture of the two. You know, I think we are awake enough to know when we're having bad thoughts about someone. And we're awake enough to know that having bad thoughts about someone isn't a great thing to do, not only for ourselves, but for the other person. So one of the ways in which psychic attack happens is if we're already weak and we've never tended to our wounds. And what I often say to people, to clients that come to me with that particular story, is that the place to go to, first of all, is to clear whatever attack has come at them. But then the place to go to is to start to tend to those core wounds. And that's often what leads us to do the deeper work in the core wound healing program, which is also on my website. And once you start to heal those wounds and bring greater awareness and light to them, then they no longer become our Achilles heel, then they actually become our strength. And that we're no longer susceptible to that form of attack. In fact, we can see that it's coming and we know how to dodge it. We know not to engage with those people or go into those environments or lay ourselves so open so that we are that susceptible. Another way that psychic attack can penetrate us is if our energy reserves are low, if our vibrational essence is low. And that can come through tiredness, sickness, depression, addictions, alcohol, drugs, bad diet, lack of sleep, our living conditions, you know, the sort of environmental stress. All of these things can lower our energetic frequency. I've talked in another podcast, there's a podcast called What Are You Consuming? About, you know, what we put into our bodies defines our energetic frequency. So, you know, if we're consuming drugs and alcohol, that's going to lower our frequency and it makes us more susceptible to psychic attack. It also means that we're kind of out of it. So we're not really tending to our spiritual health if we're not tending to our physical health. You know, the two go hand in hand. If we're spending most of our time in a drunken haze or a druggy haze, or we've got hangovers that we're tending to 3 or 4 times a week, or we're really thinking about when we're going to get our next fix and our dealer's, you know, number one on our speed dial, then we don't really have our spiritual well-being at the top of our list. You know, our priorities are, got to get my booze in, got to get my drugs in, got to get my fix in. It's not, you know, got to tend to my chakras and clean my aura. So it lays us open to psychic attack. And over time, it just becomes a kind of, one thing adds to the other. So it just becomes a vicious cycle, in that because our reserves are low, because our frequency is low, we attract more psychic attack. And then because we have more psychic attack, our reserves get low. And so we probably take to drugs and alcohol to feel better. And so back and forth it goes. And also it means that when we're mixing in those environments that are very kind of, you know, non-conscious, you know, non-conscious, non-awake, that we're more likely to be around people that aren't really thinking or patrolling their thoughts. You know, if someone's off their face on drugs or alcohol, then it doesn't take much to be off our faces. Let's face it, you know, a couple of glasses of wine and a spliff, and that takes us to an altered state. So if someone is in that state, they're less likely to monitor and patrol their thoughts and think, oh, I mustn't think this bad thought about this person. I mustn't wish bad on a person, because they're already disconnected from themselves. They're already disconnected from their higher selves and from their true spiritual state. And we live in a culture, especially in the UK, where it's all about getting together and having a couple of drinks and bitching and moaning about people in our lives, people that we know, people that we don't know, people we've seen on TV. You know, we love a good bitch in this country. We love to kind of say things behind people's backs and then hug them and call them sweetheart to their faces. So there's a culture built around psychic attack, fueled by alcohol and drugs, very much so in the UK, but also other parts of the world. And actually, it's frowned upon if we don't gossip. It's like, makes people feel uncomfortable. Why are you not gossiping about this person? And all gossip really is a form of psychic attack, whether we're judging how someone looks, what they're wearing, what they said. It's all negative energy. You know, we could turn a piece of gossip into showering someone with love. So rather than saying, did you see this thing that person did? Or did you see what they were wearing? Or I can't believe they said so-and-so. We could find something to appreciate in them. As they say, if you have nothing nice to say, don't say anything. So that's another way that psychic attack can kind of latch onto us. Another way that psychic attack can latch onto us is if we are doing the same thing. So if we're having thoughts of anger and jealousy and rage and, you know, bitching about others, well, then we are at that frequency. So why would we not attract the same? And of course, on a practical level, if we tend to be that kind of person, we're going to surround ourselves with people who are also like that. And so it becomes an even greater frequency that we inhabit. And one of the things that I have found very challenging over the years, as I've continued to push myself to grow spiritually, and I've walked this path, is that a lot of my friendships have changed. And I realized that a lot of my friendships in my teens and my early 20s were about getting together, having a glass of wine and bitching and moaning about people. And I didn't think twice about making nasty comments about someone that I knew, someone that I didn't know. And then as I dove deeper into myself and healing myself, but also my work as a healer, I found that I didn't want to have those conversations with people, that it started to feel dirty. You know, I would start to feel like I'd been slimed in some way. And if I was with a friend and they would start bitching about someone or making a negative comment about someone, I really didn't want to engage in that. That's not to say that I was a saint, because there's times when people annoy me and there's times when I get angry at them. But I would at least have, I believe, a modicum of self-awareness to know I'm descending into a lower frequency right now, because, you know, and ultimately I'm doing that because I'm angry, because I'm dissatisfied, because I've been triggered in some way. And then we try and make amends for that by cancelling out the energy that we've sent, or sending positive energy instead, or asking for forgiveness from their higher self. And all of these things can cancel out psychic attack. So those are some of the ways that psychic attack can come at us. And some of the ways that we can initiate psychic attack, as I've said, is through gossip, through complaining, through wishing bad things to happen to people. But some of the ways that we can neutralize that is by realizing that that's what we've done and that isn't our truth. It isn't our highest version of ourselves. It isn't our spiritual truth. We're better than that. And we can cancel it out. We can cancel it out by apologizing if we need to the person. We can apologize in our minds and visualize them in front of us and apologize. We could write down a letter of apology. We could send them love instead. We could simply say to the universe, I want to cancel out any negative energy I've sent to that person. There's lots of ways in which we can do it. And I think it's important that we have a spiritual practice that means that we take inventory of our thoughts and our actions at the end of a day. So psychic attack is very real. You know, that density of energy can build up in our bodies, and over time it can slow us down. It can lower our vibration, especially if we're not clearing. I think if you feel that you might be on the receiving end of psychic attack, have been, or it's recently happened to you, or maybe there's just an accumulation of it, as I say, the podcast is not the place to tell you what to do to remedy that. But what I would say is get help. You know, get someone to assist you. And then once you've been assisted and you feel like you've returned to your neutral state, your true state, then start to bring into practices that are going to give you protection on a daily basis and elevate your vibration. And also look at the kind of people that you surround yourself with and the conversations that you're having and what you're watching and what you're reading. You know, magazines and social media are the worst for this kind of energy. You know, on social media, we can see a photo of someone and we can wish them ill just because they seem really happy and we're not having a good day. You know, we pick up magazines and it's all about judgment. It's all about cellulite on someone and someone's marriage breaking down and hating someone else. And it doesn't create a very good energy in us. So it's important that we consume things that elevate us rather than lower our vibration. I think if you do feel that you have been at the receiving end of psychic attack and you've resonated with this podcast in some way, then please do go to the website, which is sacredspacehealing.org, and have a look at the block clearing program. I think it's called the clearing program now. And see if it calls to you. And if it does, then the first step is to send me an email with an area of your life that you feel is stuck. You know, relationships, finances, health, house, career. And I can then do a journey for you and we can see what the guidance is and how we can start to get that energy moving for you and get you empowered. The website, again, is sacredspacehealing.org. That's sacredspacehealing.org. Wherever you may be on your journey, I wish you much joy, love, and protection. Until the next time, so it is and so it shall be.